Okay, translation. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, after foreseeing the end of his family by his internal potency, went to the bank of the river Sarasvati, sipped water, and sat down underneath a tree. Purport. All the above mentioned activities of the Yadus and Bojas were executed by the internal potency of the Lord, because he wanted them to be dispatched to their respective abode after he had finished his mission of descent. They were all his son and grandsons, and were given complete protection by the paternal affection of the Lord. How they could be vanquished in the presence of the Lord is answered in this verse. Everything was done by the Lord himself, Svatma Mayaya. The Lord's family members were either incarnation of his planetary expansions or demigods from the heavenly planet. And thus, before his departure, he separated them by his internal potency. Before being dispatched to their respective abodes, they were sent to the holy place of Prabhas, where they performed pious activities and took food and drink to their heart's content. It was then arranged for them to be sent back to their abode so that others could see that the powerful Yadu dynasty was no longer in the world. In the previous verse, the word Anugyata, indicating that the whole sequence of events was arranged by the Lord, is significant. Those particular pastimes of the Lord are not a manifestation of his external energy or material nature. Such an exhibition of his internal potency is eternal, and therefore one should not conclude that the Yadus and Bojas died in a drunken state in an ordinary fratricidal war. Srila Jiva Goswami comment on those incidents as magical performances. Bhagavan Svatma Mayaya Gatim Tam Avalokyasa Sarasvatim Upashprishya Brikshamulam Upavishat. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, after foreseeing the end of his family by his internal potency, went to the bank of the river Sarasvati, sipped water, and sat down under a tree. Om Gyanati Minandasya Gyananjana Shalakoya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So that was not an easy lecture to prepare. Yesterday I was giving my best, but somehow I got into a good purification. I went into the kitchen and I had a lot of things everything was just going wrong, and I was just like, I had a blank page for this lecture. I just did not know what should I speak about. I was a little bit, somehow some churning was going on inside. And then yes, 2 days before going to bed, something more came. So this verse basically explained that Lord Krishna was foreseeing that all his family members will be removed from this earth, will be brought back to the spiritual, to their respective abodes. And Lord Krishna left and went on the side of the Sarasvati River. And there he took a sip of water and sat down under a big tree. So that's basically the verse of today. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport keep on in this intrigue or in this amazing event of how the Bhoja and Yadu were actually disappearing from this world, how they became drunken and then they started to kill each other. And many, many times in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that it was actually everything, the action of the internal energy. Also the verse mentioned that. So I found in the Unwilling is Lotus Feet another reason why it happened that all the Yadus and the Bhojas actually killed themselves in such a way, because it's quite enigmatic. So there was actually mention of a discussion between Lord Brahma and Lord Krishna. Actually, Lord Brahma went to Dwarka to meet Krishna and announced him, actually, your duty is finished here in this material world. You have done everything you needed to do. You have protected your devotees, and most of all, you have performed amazing pastimes. And because of all those pastimes you have performed on earth, now everyone will be able to remember you. Everyone will become purified by hearing and by speaking about those pastimes. So now it's time for you, if you like, to go back to your eternal world. You did your mission here. And then the Supreme Lord replied to Lord Brahma. He said, I understand your prayers and requests. Having removed the burden of the earth, I have executed everything required on your behalf. That very Yadava dynasty in which I appeared became greatly magnified in opulence, especially in their physical strength and courage, to the extent that they threatened to devour the whole world. So Krishna is saying here that my dynasty, my descendants, they are actually very, very powerful, and they are actually expanding, and they are so strong with courage and with physical strength that when I'm gone, they will be able to actually destroy the whole world. Therefore, I have stopped them, just as the shore holds back a great ocean. If I were to leave this world without withdrawing the overly proud members of the Yadu dynasty, the whole world will be destroyed by the deluge of their unlimited expansion. Now, due to the Brahmana's curse, the annihilation of my family has already begun. O sinless Brahma, when this annihilation is finished and I am en route to Vaikuntha, I will pay a small visit to your abode. Lord Krishna is telling Brahma, when everything is finished and I'm going back to my abode, I will stop in Brahmaloka and give you some greetings at that time. So this is one interesting reason that is given here by the Lord, why actually all the Yadu dynasty and Bhoja dynasty had to end in that way, by actually killing each other, killing themselves. And I guess there are many different reasons why it happened. I mean, we could ask the question why they just not all went on a walk and suddenly everyone disappeared. And why did they have to kill themselves in such a way? And I did not really get answer yet. I did not also research more. But maybe one of the reasons might be that nobody would think that they were the fact that they were a member of Krishna's family will remain hidden. They were just like acting like ordinary human beings. So Prabhupada mentioned a few times this was the action of the internal energy, and we should not think, oh, they were just like ordinary people just drinking and killing themselves. And Prabhupada mentioned that Jiva Goswami said this was a magical performance. So it was really a very special action from the internal energy of Krishna. So I would like to speak today a little bit on this being under the internal energy of the Lord or being under the external energy of the Lord, because basically there are only those two energies, and us, the jiva, we can decide under which energy we want to be, under which energy we like to be influenced. Like often Srila Prabhupada will say, we are servant by nature, and we can decide if we want to serve Krishna or if we want to serve Maya, but there is no other choice. We are servant by nature, and we will do the service. So I was thinking how great it will be if we will be able to be more often under this yoga maya energy of the Lord, to be actually directly under this internal potency, this energy of love, this direct energy of Krishna. That will be so great to be under that. Yesterday I had actually only that thought. I was cooking and I was cleaning and I was just thinking, what should I speak about that? But nevertheless, it will be so nice to just be under the internal potency of the Lord and just be like, whatever we do is exactly what Krishna wants, exactly at the proper time, exactly with the proper person, proper meeting. Everything will be just in perfect harmony, and this will also imply actually no anxiety, no fear. Like totally, we are totally aware everything is fully under Krishna's control. I found also by Krishna's grace I got again a little bit time to read, and this is really necessary in our spiritual life. When we don't have time for reading, it's really a struggle. And I was studying a little bit again the Brahma Vimohan Lila, in which actually I stopped in my seminar, and I found a very nice place where Prabhupada speak about this point of choice that the living entity has between being under this energy of Krishna, this internal energy, or being in the external energy. And I would like to speak a little on the pastime, but a little bit later. Now the question is, what decides that we are under one energy or under the other energy? What is the component that make that we will be under one or under the other? Yeah?
I would say we, just like Krishna has full independence, we as part and parcel of Krishna, we have very tiny independence. So this is our independence that we can decide or desire. We want to serve Krishna or we want to serve Maya.
And actually that's the answer. That's actually our decision. That's actually our choice. Or that's actually our desire that will bring us under one or under the other energy. That's actually deeply rooted in this desire. Basically, we know what is good to be done. in Krishna consciousness. We have heard so many times what we are supposed to do, how we are supposed to practice Krishna consciousness. But then it's really up to us if we take that seriously, if we really try to apply the teaching, or if actually we think no need to struggle too much, no need to try too much. I do everything on the superficial level. I sit down, I chant Hare Krishna, but I don't mind that my mind is running all around. This instruction is little too much. I will not follow this. I follow this, but I don't follow that. And this is actually our free will, our free choice. Krishna has many plans for all of us. And we often also have our own plans. Like we call that often our own agenda. What we want to do. What is actually our part of what is there for me in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, exactly. I remember we met last year Shyam Das, a very nice devotee from the Vallabha Sampradaya. Actually, that was 2 years ago. I was walking around Giriraj with my Guru Maharaj, and we met him, and I discussed. And Shyam was saying, when I'm in Braj, no agenda. Everything is up to Krishna. I don't make any plan. I don't. Here in Braj, this is the way to live. No agenda. And I see also in our spiritual life, I see at least for myself, I know, okay, this time I wake up, then I will chant 3 rounds, and then I will do this, and then I will do that, and then I will do that. And my full day is actually just an agenda. And very often, although it's an agenda which is connected to serving Krishna and hopefully connected to give pleasure to Krishna, but still one can lose so easily the point, be caught in this agenda. Once Mataji was asking her spiritual master, she was in Vrindavan for Kartik, and she asked him, should I do this type of rata or should I do this type of austerity? And her spiritual master said, when you are in Braj for Kartik, be very careful with your vratas, because there is a flow of devotion. And because of your vratas, you might not allow yourself to be in the flow. That means Krishna might have some plan and might bring you some auspicious moments, but maybe because you are too attached to your own vrata, you will say, no, I have to go early to bed and I will not go to this Krishna katha that actually Krishna is providing. So it's interesting to see this nuance between our own agenda and actually our flexibility to be open for something else, for something that is actually coming from Krishna, for something that actually can bring us into this internal energy of Krishna, into the divine arrangement that Krishna wants to arrange for us, and to actually not be too much lost into our own agenda, into our own plans, and to our own attachment that things should go in this way or that way. I was thinking also in this point, I was mentioning shortly this point of we know how we are supposed to practice Krishna consciousness. We have heard that so many times, and we know that it's not easy. We know that it's not easy, but our desire, which actually make the decision in which we will go, is often very weak, our spiritual desire. Like, for example, we chant japa, and we know we should be focusing our mind, and even it's difficult to focus the mind, we know we should be trying. That's what we should be doing. But because our desire for Krishna is weak, at least I can speak on myself, there is almost no desire, there is almost no try. I'm doing it, okay, I'm there, I'm chanting, I'm doing my duty, but my attitude is weak, because this desire inside is weak. And also in our practical service, the way we are serving the Vaishnavas, the way we are serving Krishna on the altar, it's also, we know we should be doing things like this, like this, like this, but very often we are a little careless. Oh, no need to do like this. Oh, I prefer to do like that. Or all those type of lack of attention, lack of care in our service to Krishna. And I was remembering, it was installation, I don't remember which day it is, but Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture after installing some, I think it was Radha and Krishna deities, and Prabhupada was saying, be very careful, you are dealing with Krishna. And this always like got stuck in my mind, this how much care we should be in approaching our service to the deities, how much care should be our approach to the service to the holy name, who is actually non-different from Krishna. So because of this lack of desire inside of our heart, we are often doing things in a mechanical way, in a routine way, and do not actually give so much attention and so much care to the person we are actually worshipping. And I mean, we hear many solutions, association with devotees, hearing about Krishna, and yeah, it's not easy to put fire to this desire inside of our heart, so that this eagerness for being under this internal energy of Krishna rage in our hearts. This morning we were singing kirtan, and Pandu Vijay Prabhu asked me, how long should the kirtan go? And I say, oh, how long you want? And then I thought, no. I went back to Pandu Vijay and I say, the kirtan should go as long as there is no ecstasy. When the ecstasy comes, then that's okay. and that should be actually in our mind. That should be in the background of our activities, that we really want this connection with Krishna. We should somehow feel very sorry and very sad to catch ourselves practicing Krishna consciousness without a real desire to be with Krishna, or to please Krishna, or to serve Krishna. This is almost shame. But I mean, I speak, I'm very much like you. I'm very much struggling, but we should at least have the hope that this desire take place in our heart. So I don't want to speak too much on that, because I think you have noticed it makes a little weight into the energy. We feel like, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not able, I have no desire. Oh. So I would like to speak a little bit about Krishna, because this is what we need. This is what gives us hopes. This is what gives us strength. What is attracting us? What is actually giving us also the desire to develop this proper attitude? And all the pastimes of Krishna, they are actually giving this example of being lost into the internal energy. All the devotees who are in the pastimes of Krishna, they are totally instrumental into the pastimes of Krishna. They are totally engaged into the internal energy, like we see about the Yadus and the Bojas. Although they were doing something that externally looked very bad, but everything was orchestrated by the internal energy. So although we have all heard many, many times this pastime, but still I think it's always good to hear again and again about the pastimes of Krishna. I would like to speak about this Brahma Vimohan Lila of Krishna, these pastimes where Lord Krishna bewildered Lord Brahma. Because at the end, I want to come to a very special point that is actually in contact to this choice of internal and external energy. I was also looking in the Gopal Champu on this lila, and I found also some few interesting insights on the pastimes, and also insight not only on the pastimes but on what is the mood of Krishna, how is Krishna thinking. So sometimes we have a few contradictory statements from one shastra to another, but it's actually not a fault. It makes like a beautiful, a better ornament for the pastimes of Krishna. So on that day, actually, who of you know what happened before the Brahma Vimohan Lila took place? Yeah? And? Anything else? Yeah? Yeah, yeah. What even before that? Before that, what happened before that?
The gopis were looking for the husband and making the yaga.
Oh, no. That's before, I think that's before Kaliya Lila, or before Govardhan Lila, that there was the stealing of the gopis. Yeah, you see that, Madan Mohan?
Yeah, but the point is that all the gopis wanted to have Krishna for the husband, and all the cows wanted to have Krishna. So this is also the part of Lila.
Yeah. But I want to hear something else. What was happening before? I think Mikhail must have the answer. Yeah?
They go sit down in the Yamuna
for breakfast.
Before, that's already the Lila. Before that, they all saw a huge python. There was Agasura. There was all the pastime of Agasura in the morning. That was the first part of the day. That was what happened before. Yeah, on the same day. And then they actually felt very hungry. They felt, okay, after so much action with Agasura, it was quite some action, they thought, okay, now we need to take a good breakfast. So they were actually walking on the side of the Yamuna, and they found a place where the sand of the Yamuna was white like camphor. And there was not a print in this sand. It was like totally beautiful and flat. The Yamuna at that time had a lot of lotuses, and the very beautiful breeze was bringing the fragrance of the lotuses. And there the boy, hearing the birds chirping, they thought, okay, this is our ideal place for our meal. And then they sat down, and then like you mentioned, Krishna was sitting in the center, and all the boys were sitting in cycle around, and they started to exchange their meal. They actually had lunch boxes and opened their lunch boxes, and they were cover boys. They liked to laugh and they liked to play, so they took different items from the nature as plates. Some they took leaves from tree as a plate. Some they took some stones that were flat on the top, like their plates. Some took barks of tree. And then they started to exchange their food with Krishna. And something amazing happened at that time, is that actually all the cowboy boys were hoping, Krishna will look at me. And although Krishna was in the center, Krishna was looking at every one of them simultaneously. That means Krishna was not showing his back to anyone. And they were in cycle around him. So this is the amazing power of Lord Krishna. And everyone, even those who thought they were sitting in the back of the cycle, they were feeling they are very close to Krishna. They would exchange their food with Krishna. And Prabhupada gave very, very a beautiful comment on this point. Srila Prabhupada writes, If one is raised to the platform of pure devotional service, Krishna is always visible in the core of one's heart. One who has attained such a perfection is all beautiful in transcendental bliss. The present Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to keep Krishna in the center, for if this is done, all activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful. So this is actually the movement of Krishna consciousness, that Krishna take place in our heart, that Krishna actually remain in the center of our life, and that we can actually directly reciprocate and exchange with Krishna. Because at this place where they started to take breakfast, there was also some very good, fresh and tender green grass. They tied the calf there so that they could eat peacefully. And then while they were eating, they were joking. They were making a lot, they had a lot of fun in their meals. Sometimes a cowboy boy will empty a samosa and will put into the samosa some jasmine flower that smell actually very nice but are very bitter, and then they will give this samosa to the other cowboy boy, and when he will eat, he will feel the bitter and will make a strange face, and everyone will laugh. In Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami explained that Krishna was playing with the food in his finger and was making the food go between his fingers, and all the cowboy boy will laugh. They had really a lot of fun. And then Brahma saw how Krishna was eating with left hand. And not only that, the Brijbasis explain that Subal gave to Lord Krishna some old buttermilk. This buttermilk was a little sour. And when Krishna drank that buttermilk, he felt it was not good, and he just spit it out like this. And when Brahma saw that, Brahma said, "No, that's too much. This cannot be God. This is really too much." And then he said, "I will try to challenge that boy. I will try to challenge this Krishna, and we will see that he is actually not really the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And then with invisible hands, Brahma came and untied the calves, and the calves went away, and suddenly the bliss of the breakfast between Krishna and the boy was interrupted by a very fearful reality. The calves were gone, and those calves were actually the life of the Brijbasi. They were under the responsibilities of the boys, so they felt very anxious. "Oh, our calves are gone." And Krishna very beautifully said, "You stay here. You stay here and you eat. I will personally go and take them and find those calves." Krishna did not say, "I am God. I am the master. You are my servants. You go and do that. I will stay here and continue eating." Krishna, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he enjoys so much to serve his devotees. This is love. This is love, this exchange of service. So Krishna went to look for the calves. He still had some yogurt and fruits in his hands and was looking in the caves, in the mountains, behind bushes, and just could not find those calves. And when he came back, he did not even see the cowboys. Everyone had disappeared. And in Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami write, Krishna began thinking of the grief of the boys. "Oh, how will they survive without me? And how will I survive without them?" Lamenting and thinking, he then became the form of those boys and calves with their qualities. That means, according to Jiva Goswami, he just felt, "Oh, the boys will feel so much separation from me, and I will feel so much separation from them." And suddenly, just naturally, from his body, all those boys and calves manifested as expansion. And I mean, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna at that time understood, okay, this is Lord Brahma who wants to make a mischief. So I will teach him a lesson. And he actually continued searching the boys. He was feeling like showing his head to not find the boys so that Brahma will be bewildered, because he knew Brahma is watching me. But according to Jiva Goswami, Krishna did not understand that for the whole pastime. Krishna actually expanded his form like this to somehow coming from his internal potency, but only at the end of the pastimes, when Brahma came to watch what was happening with the boy, at that time only Krishna understood, oh, here is Brahma. What is he doing? Why is he so bewildered? He was the thief of the cows and calves. So that's interesting detail of how Jiva Goswami perceived the pastime. So anyway, how were those expansions of Krishna? How do they look, those expansions of Krishna? When Krishna expanded like the boy and the calves, how perfect were those expansions?
They were exactly the same. But
they were exactly the same, but even more beautiful.
They had the exact same clothes, exact tone of the voice, exact qualities, exact mood, exact character, and they knew exactly all what had happened before. That was Krishna's amazing potency. And when Krishna came back to Vrindavan with the boys, actually everyone felt much more love than they would feel before. For all the mother felt much more love for their sons than what they would feel before. And all the cows will feel much more love than they will feel before. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur make a very nice point. He said that Krishna was supposed to take the exact replica of those boys and calves, but now he was exchanging much more love with his parents in the expansion than what it was before. So is that a fault of God, that he could not actually be the exact replica, but he had to exchange more love? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, no, this is an ornament of Krishna. This shows how much Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee, that he could not actually stay like the exact replica, because he was receiving so much love, he had to reciprocate much more this love of the Brijvasis. And there is very, very beautiful comment here. Krishna drank the milk of all the mothers, from his respective mothers, as if it were a nectarian beverage, as intoxicating as wine, by testing their love. So Krishna was drinking the milk of all those mothers like a nectar beverage that was like intoxicating wine, because of the prema of all those mothers. For this reason, Krishna kept their son under the influence of his yoga maya for 1 year. Therefore, Krishna kept it for so long, for one full year. And it is said also, like Manimanjari was mentioning, many gopis, they wanted to marry Krishna. And now, all those boys were Krishna. And during that year, a lot of marriage took place, and all those gopis were actually marrying Krishna. And then at the end of the pastimes, Lord Brahma came and became very bewildered. For him, actually, it was just one minute or one moment of time, and he came after 1 year and he looked and saw that all the boys were still with Krishna, and the calves also. So he started to become bewildered. And then he went to look in the cave where he had hidden those boys, and he saw they were there. So he came back and he saw they were here. So he was bewildered, totally bewildered. Who are the real? Is the one I steal the real one? Or did I steal the wrong one and the real are there? Oh, even he was even thinking, oh, is Krishna's potency bringing very fast the boys and calves in the cave, so that when I'm in the cave, they are there. And then he bring them very fast there, that when I go here, they are here. He just became totally bewildered. And there, Srila Prabhupada writes a very interesting comment in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he said that Brahma was trying to make a competition with Krishna. Brahma wanted to show his mystic power are beyond the mystic power of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada first speak about scientists, how scientists are actually competing with Krishna. And then he brings us on our level. It's very, very beautiful. In other words, Brahma was defeated by his own attempt. In a similar position are the scientists and philosophers who want to overcome the mystic power of Krishna. They challenge Krishna, saying, "What is God? We can do this, we can do that." But the more they challenge Krishna in this way, the more they are implicated in suffering. The lesson here is that we should not try to overcome Krishna. Rather, instead of endeavoring to surpass him, we should surrender to him. Instead of defeating Krishna, Brahma himself was defeated, for he could not understand what Krishna was doing. Here. We should give up all our teeny efforts to defy the arrangements of Krishna. Instead, whatever arrangement he proposes, we should accept. This is always better, for this will make us happy. The more we try to defeat the arrangement of Krishna, the more we become implicated in Krishna's Maya. So here Prabhupada writes very, very nicely this point of competing with Krishna is connected to what we often heard the last days of not accepting the arrangements that is giving to us. And try to do our own arrangement and to do the things different. And what are those arrangements? The arrangements of Krishna, they are this internal potency. There is this internal energy of Lord Krishna in which actually we would like to be situated. So that was my attempt to serve this morning with my lecture. I have actually quite some other points, but I think we had a little part of, we were thinking of this desire of feigning this desire of our Krishna consciousness, our eagerness to be under this internal energy and not to be overwhelmed by this external energy of Krishna. And somehow I could get this connection with the Brahma Vimohan Lila, and I really have very, very deep faith that by sufficient hearing of Krishna's pastimes, sufficient hearing about the glories of Krishna, this is actually going to do the work of giving us enthusiasm, of giving us life and desire, the increase our spiritual desires. And when it's done in the association of the devotees, then it's really the ideal. And yesterday although I had a blank mind for what will I speak today for the lecture, but I just had this desire, I would like to be in this internal energy. I have enough now to be all the time doing all my own stuff. I would like to be in this harmony. I would like to be in this connection, being as instruments in the internal energy of Krishna. So that's, if you have comments or questions. Pandu Vijay Prabhu.
Thank you very much for your very nice lecture. Also very astonishing, amazing is the departure of Krishna from this world. How he departs and he was shot in his foot. Just to remember the atheists so that they can have also their arguments. You see, he was just an ordinary man.
Yeah. Thank you. There are many.
When I read that about the destruction of the Yadavas, we also at the beginning I think, why is this necessary? You know? And also all the other members that were really like Arjuna and the Pandavas, also for them it was painful to see that the Yadavas was destroyed like that.
I'm curious to hear more about those internal reasons on this type of pastimes. I'm happy I got this what I was reading in the beginning, that Krishna felt that they are too strong and they are too proud. They will destroy the whole world, therefore I need to... In Krishna Lila there are so many different layers and so many different reasons of Krishna to act in. Therefore we are so lucky, we get so many commentaries from Acharya that actually give lights on those pastimes of Krishna. And,
And also interesting, when he left also, Dwarka was flooded by the sea, and just recently they discovered this city, and you can see on the internet it's quite interesting. The scientists are bringing up some things from this city.
Mm-hmm.
And that the time and everything, and everything when it happened and stuff like that, it's really amazing.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Even, what's his name, the devotee, was writing all his books. Huh? What's his name?
Satyaraj, Prabhu? No? Satyaraj? He wrote many books, but.
Yeah, the other one.
Yeah, it could be then, if he's a scientist, it could be this one.
And there's videos of him on the subject matter of Dwarka, really. Another professor who calculated the exact date and when it happened, according to the astrological stand of all the planets, would see what exactly this time was.
Thank you. Yeah, Animachari.
For me, it was interesting that last sentence in the Prabhupada, I think, or adding something due to your meaning from England. That you always said that it was like a magic, all this disappearance of the kind of this like magical thing. So we have also these magicians who can make illusions, you know, just something right there after like cutting your head or the blood or everything is there or anything. And then afterwards everyone is again alive, but just like So the same thing is actually this Yoga Maya. He's like she's also like actually some spiritual illusory energy. She makes a magic. Disappear there, going to their respectful places. But for those who are not, who don't have a spiritual vision, it looks like it's like a magical show. So for us who don't have this spiritual vision, everything is actually all the time it's something illusory. There is some illusory potency. This Mahamaya is also illusory potency. Lord, which makes this world appear like real, like a magical show. It's actually not permanent. It's also illusory. I was just thinking how because we even know scientists find out we are made from atoms. Everything is just made from atoms.
which are more thick or more, you know, there is nothing, everything we are, our bodies or this matter, everything is made of atoms. And then you know the structure of atoms is just small nucleus and smaller, even smaller electrons, and in between is nothing, just space, you know, and they're just moving. So they are made like this, so it's actually not a permanent thing. Mm. And they can always separate and come together, so like our bodies, you know, are destroyed and again some new body comes. Such a magical show.
Mm.
And even no theorem. Some atoms coming together, then they separate and go there and it's a show. But somehow or other still we are like thinking this is me, this is me. So funny.
But really, like what I read from Srimad Bhagavatam, this purport from Prabhupada mentioning we should accept the arrangements of the Lord. At the end, actually, the last sentence he writes, he comes to this verse from Bhagavad Gita, Devi Iesha Gunamai Mamamaya Duratyaya. This energy of illusion is so difficult to surpass or to overcome. But for one who surrenders to me, then he can actually easily pass over it. And this is actually our hope, to come into this surrender. That means to come to accept what Krishna wants from us and to act accordingly, and not to give up this my own things. Okay, this okay, but I also have my own plan and my own things. This is actually at the moment where we are entangled into the Maya.
Mm. This is what also Prabhupada says, that the mistake is that we are taking this world too serious.
Mm.
This is just a magical show.
It's
taking it too serious.
Mm.
Like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna showed him then he saw all this, big body. The mouth and everyone was going into the mouth. And somehow or other he was like becoming a bit. But this is actually going on. So he said, they are already dead, they are already gone. You just play a role in this in this show and take some.
This is so good. I mean, when we can feel it like this, but we are in the theater show. That actually, when you get a feeling of that, it's just so nice. You just feel like there is actually all anxieties, everything is gone. When you get this, I mean, it's rare, at least for me. But when one gets this perspective, it's actually, it's a big relief. Yeah. I think Madhavananda was speaking.
He was like playing the role of Dasharatha Maharaj, and then Ram in the performance, Ram left, you know. He was so sad, he so much identified that he really left his body on the stage. So this is identifying this role. So this is how we are also identifying the body and born again. Because we want to be this body, that's the point.
Mm.
But when you see everything is just a performance, just like when you look some field and then you cry, then you are happy when it's over, or in a dream. This is also subtle reality.
Mm.
And then you are, I'm so happy anyway. Permanently, it's just not like this. Same thing, but I think it's theoretically we all know so much, but it's it's just the matter of practice and somehow the matter of realization. Mm-hmm. Actually, the matter of our habits. Because we have habits for so many lives to think we are at this point. And just to change the habit is sometimes not so easy. It needs some time, but it's going. Changing the habits. It says if you are 1 month doing some other way, then you will get a new habit, and then it's all wonderful. So we are so many lifetimes habituated to always think it's me and this is my work, this is my friend, this is my friend, this is my. And now we are like, couldn't be better, but if we read more and try to think for 1 month, no, maybe we change the habit. And read more, than a new habit will come to see everything as arrangement. Fingers everywhere.
And a big amount of mercy. Anyone else has comments? Or?
We are completely captured by this illusory energy, which is actually just like a dream, in fact, if you see it from the spiritual view. And this is the whole cycle. Because we are completely absorbed in this material energy, yes.
Yeah. Ananga Manjari?
Actually, I was just reading some time ago, part of a letter from Srila Prabhupada, and he's saying that actually, if Krishna is real, then his energy is also real. It cannot be that he's real and his energy is not real. So actually, what is not real, because it's external, his body. But he said that Maya is real, and we are also real. We are internal, like a source. But what is not real is externity of this material world and our body.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, there are sometimes this. Also, Prabhupada often mentioned Mayavadis saying this is not real and this is real, and yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, we see that everything is Krishna's energy, so everything is actually real. But still, the illusion is there.
Actually, the sense real means eternal. That's why they say this world is unreal, because it's not, it's temporary.
Actually,
it's real, but it's temporary. And if you mean the real world, real means what exists eternally.
Okay, yeah, depend. Depend. Depend to how, what do we mean by real?
I think that the most easy thing is to just think of our real identity, our eternal identity. And if you try to identify with your eternal identity, then this impermanent one will just fade away. You just think, what is my real identity? Who am I really? What is my path? What is my relationship with Krishna? What is my spiritual body like? What is my service there? And meditate on this, and then this impermanent things, which is so short according to eternity. This is like a, what is this life? 100 earthly years is nothing. According to even Brahmas, you know, this only 1 year was like this, 1 second in Brahmas, Brahma Loka. What to say of according to the spiritual world? It's nothing, just click, click, and it's gone. So if I try to identify and find out what is our real identity, then we will get rid of illusion. So we should try to develop our spiritual body. And also I was always praying, if I want to do whatever I like to do for you and this and that, I really need the spiritual body, because this body is so not time. It's start to pain, start to be tired, you know, you have no time. And for me, no eternity is no limits. No time. No pain, it's really. so many spiritual world. It's not too many people, it looks like. And then it will develop problems.
Get the desire. And it's very often when we are in Vrindavan, when we are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, this desire comes stronger of who I am, what is my real identity. But yeah, it's not easy to get there. I once asked, I was visiting Man Mandir in Varshana, in the ashram of Ramesh Baba, and I was listening his morning lecture and someone was translating, and there, his followers were a little bit pushy, like, go to Baba, ask question. So finally, one day I said, okay, I will go and ask question. And I had a question connected to this Siddha Svarup, our eternal identity. I was wondering, can we choose which Svarup we want to be, or we are in one and we have to accept it? That's it. So I asked him the question. And he looked at me and he said, when you will remember Krishna all the time, you will know what is your Svarup. I say, oh, thank you. I was really like a little bit frustrated with his answer. But then later, I got some confirmation from Shastra on this point, that actually that's something that comes when actually our consciousness is absorbed in Krishna, and we can actually think all the time of Krishna, remember all the time Krishna, and this means that we have the desire to think of Krishna. I was contemplating on this point yesterday, because we know all we have to do in Krishna consciousness. We know even in the temple life, everything we do is there to help us remember Krishna. Kirtan, whatever we do, we actually in the temple life, we should not be able to forget Krishna for even a minute, because Krishna is all the time around. But because we don't have this strong desire to be with Krishna, we don't mind to forget him. And therefore, we are into this illusion. And therefore, to come to this stage of finding one's body means already like the consciousness should be really absorbed in Krishna to come to that point. And just to have the desire to know what is my identity and just to meditate on that means already there is quite a desire inside.
Because this body is related to Krishna, so it's connected.
Yeah.
Separate. And it says actually there is also in Shastra, when you see Krishna, you have so much desire to see him. Then in Krishna appears to you, automatically, he's like a sun, he will show you, you see him and you will see yourself in connection with him. This is going together. It's always a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna's sun will shine on us.
Jai, time is also running. I think we should stop here for this morning. Garantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.